This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You may not know his face, but if you've been in church for any length of time, it's likely you will have sung a song penned by Paul Baloche. Over the last 30 years, Paul's written iconic Sunday setlist staples for churches around the world, from Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, to Hosanna and Above All. With 21 albums under his belt and his 22nd Behold Him just released, I got Paul on the line to talk about the intentions behind this new project, worshipping in a COVID-19 world, and how he has maintained such longevity in his craft. It is incredible to just witness the career that you have had. This is your 22nd album with Integrity Music, which is mind-boggling that you've had so much to say, so much to write, and energy for it as well. Over that length of a career, how do you keep it fresh and keep the interest in what you're doing?
Well, one of the things I like to do is write with people from other generations. So, you know, as back in the day, maybe I would write more songs maybe on my own or someone within my church. We would co-write, but as time has gone on, to kind of keep things fresh, I think getting to write with what I would call next generation writers. And so this album, every single song is co-written with, there's not that much disparity, but sometimes there may be 10 years or maybe 20 years. But the title cut, for example, is co-written with a young man from Australia, Mitch Wong. And we wrote that together across Skype. I've actually never met him in person, but we wrote over Skype back and forth based on Psalm 46, the song Be Still and Know That I Am God. And so the title track of this project is called Behold Him.
And it's incredible what you can create with people that you haven't even met. And I think for many of the younger writers that are getting to work with you, there'd very much be a mentorship aspect to that experience too. So I think they'd really value it. But I always wonder, given you are working with so many different people, how do you create a safe space for them to work in? Because you've got personalities of all different kinds. You've got preferences of all different kinds. Yeah. How do you create a safe creative space?
Well, that's a really good question. What it looks like typically a co-writing situation is the first 5, 10, 15 minutes is a little bit like, hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. If you're in the same room together, grab a coffee or a tea, whatever your thing is. You kind of connect just on a personal level. And then at some point you pivot and like, well, do you have anything that you're excited about? Little ideas that you're, what's on your heart these days? You know, well, you know, I've got this chorus idea, or I have this verse idea that I'm excited about. It's from this passage of scripture, or I heard a sermon, and that's how you begin. And then, you know, that person will play, or maybe I'll play the idea, and they immediately will be like, oh, okay. Can you play that again? One more, just play that bit, especially that chorus. And then you just begin to like, oh, what if I could maybe hear kind of going in this direction, or, and you try to keep it positive. And then now sometimes someone will throw out an idea and you're just not crazy about it. And you don't want to, you know, you don't want to just suck all the oxygen out of the room. So you try to be positive and go, well, that's pretty cool. Maybe we could work on that. Do you have anything else we could look at?
What else can you offer me other than this bit that I'm not so into? I like that.
Kinda. And then a lot of times when you hit a point where maybe they throw out an idea and you initially aren't crazy about it, and you're in the midst of a song, the word I use all the time is maybe. So they threw out an idea and I go, maybe let's write it down. That's interesting. I was thinking more maybe like da 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 da, but maybe let's, and to be honest, quite often that maybe, you know, a couple hours later turns into, you know what, I liked your original idea actually. Hmm. So
it sparks something. And creating your writing from New York City at the moment. I know you obviously travel and go to different spots, but from what I understand, you're in a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. Where do you write? How do you make somewhere that I imagine would be pretty close to the neighbors a free environment?
Exactly. That's such, well, it's just a one-bedroom apartment, 900 square feet. And so I go into my walk-in closet, which is quite small, but it's like a nice little studio because it has clothing hanging up everywhere. So it sounds like you're in a recording studio, you know, it's very quiet. and you can hear the sirens outside, you know, that you typically do in the city. But yeah, that's my writing room is my walk-in closet.
That's the zone. And have you guys been handling everything okay with the lockdown at the moment, being in one of the main epicenters?
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, it always looks much, much worse on television. You know, our neighbors are good and no one in our family has been affected per se. Of course, we've all been affected. You know, it's quite a tectonic shift, isn't it? It's just in the whole, our culture, the economy, people who've lost their lives or they know, you know, friends or family that have. So, and our church, doing church over Zoom and streaming. And I mean, of course, so it's really been turned upside down, but more to your point of just, we personally, thankfully, are, we're fine. We're good.
Mm. It's good to hear. And I know that for a lot of church leaders, worship leaders, it really is redefining our understanding of church and gathering. And as someone like yourself who writes lyrics writes songs that are for our own personal worship experience, but also for the bigger church body, how does that affect you? The idea that maybe the gathering as we've always understood it might not exist in the same way. What's the role of worship in a disconnected environment?
You have a lot of good questions. Very good. I mean it. Oh, I always taught my children when they were growing up, I was like, you don't have to be interesting. You just have to learn how to ask good questions. That doesn't mean you're not interesting.
No, it's all good. All good.
I just highly value good questions. So yes, how do we connect? How do we connect in this virtual? Well, we're connecting right now. And like I said, probably a third of the songs of my most recent album, I wrote across Skype and Zoom. And so I find it surprisingly effective, actually, that you can, you know, once you get used to just looking at that green dot and you just try to imagine that green dot represents, you know, the little green dot on my computer that I'm looking at right now, that represents people that I'm normally with, that I care about. And I try to picture their names. I try to picture the stories. I know these people. I know their lives. I know some of their issues and struggles and challenges. And I try to kind of bring all that empathy into the moment when I am leading a song or if I'm reciting a scripture or bringing some exhortation. I just try to keep them in my heart and in my mind.
Mm. And I've always found worship to be something that we do in very quiet, very intimate spaces. But of course, in the largeness of some church experiences, it's a very noisy, very energetic thing too. For a generation that is surrounded by so much distraction and so much other stimuli, how do you think we can get to that place where worship is really sincere, really pure and uncrowded?
Well, I think that's happening. It's interesting because before I spoke to you earlier today, I spoke for 1 hour to a school of worship in Southern California, which is, again, another way here I'm able to connect with, you know, about 60, 20-somethings. They're all like 20, 30-somethings. And it's a school of worship. And we're having this worship conference online. So I think what it does, this experience, it strips it down to really where we... we can't depend on the things that bring us sort of that security and confidence, like the lights, the big sound, the big team surrounded by the singers and the drummer and all that, where it really strips it down. It reminds me of the old Matt Redman song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus, you know? It really, I find that as I'm leading some of these Sunday morning Zoom worship, that it really puts, you have to be authentic. You got to kind of deal with anything that's going on in your heart and your life. You really can't fake it. You know, you really have to kind of be prayed up and experience sort of the raw. It's very raw and vulnerable and like this sort of very naked kind of thing. We're just there, you are just you and the Lord. And so what I challenge the students today with is to make that, let's learn from this experience and learn that it's important that we develop a private worship life, that we learn to worship the Lord in private, in secret, in our walk-in closet or whatever that place is for that person, so that, you know, we can lead worship without all the wonderful things that I mentioned, like lights and sound and this and that. It really, when it comes down to it, it's where the rubber meets the road. Can I just worship the Lord in this room all by myself? And can each one of the people that I'm leading, wherever they are, can they connect with God without being physically present among, you know, hundreds or thousands perhaps?
It's a once in a generation opportunity in so many ways, despite the hardship that obviously a lot of people are experiencing. I know you've got to jump onto a next call, but I should ask you, with Behold Him, what was your intention with this album? What did you want to give to people?
You know, as a worship pastor, 25 years in the same church back in Texas, and then we moved in the last few years in New York. But I would say my heart has always been, as a worship pastor, to write songs that our church can sing, to write songs that feel like you're singing a prayer to the Lord. And so to me, this is just the same heartbeat, really. Is there are prayers set to music and produced by, you know, three different talented producers and co-written with lots of talented friends. You know, Carrie Job sings on it, Kim Walker Smith and Leslie Jordan, a lot of just friends that I've collected along the way. It's like a community expression of worship. So I hope that comes across. I think it does. There's just between the writing and also people that are appear on there as guests, it's a real privilege that I even get to do an album. I'm grateful that I get to do one more album. Thank you, Lord. And so I pray that people would be blessed, and I pray that it would inspire them with like a way of looking at the Lord from a slightly different angle, or a phrase or a chorus that makes them go, wow, I never thought of saying that to God. Yeah, that's amen. Yeah, I want to say that to you, Lord. Yes. You know?
Well, thank you so much for writing it. And thank you for all that you've brought to the world of worship, because it obviously has been such a gift to so many. So Paul, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Laura. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.